Chacham never.
I know that, but if he shows it to
Tamei, if he shows it to Tamei Chacham, then Tamei Chacham didn't find the dent. It's a good question. I guess maybe, I don't know. It means that they means, I don't know. You just say you don't have no business checking knives. Then I don't know. Okay, fine. Ravina Omar, Ravina says, if the knife turns out to be no good, actually what you have to do, you have to dirty the meat of that animal with the dung of the animal. So it's a figure of speech. It doesn't literally mean that you have to do it. It just means you have to put it completely off limits. Meaning, you're not going to even allow him to sell it to a goy. You could argue, okay, it's an avail, a big deal, a goy can eat it. Because he was careless and checked it and did not have his knife checked, and it turned out the knife was no good, therefore we can't see him and we don't even allow him to sell the meat to a goy. Because he didn't show it to the Chacham, and it turned out that it was no good. Right, yeah. Again, nowadays, if the shirts and check for each other, then yeah, that's a different matter. Again, because first of all, you have many. I just mentioned before, many poskim learn that Tamei Chacham actually can be moichel on his kavod, anyway.
But then
they're moichel on their kavod to the veteran shoshim, that the veteran shoshim can check on. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So that's what we're talking about. But if nowadays, if Minig HaKehilos is because we have specially appointed Shoshim Abonsim, and they are able to, then fine, that's the equivalent of showing it to the wrong. That's good enough. Okay. Yeah. No, the Shoshim himself can't check it. Yeah. Okay, so somebody else has to check it. Finished. Exactly. That's the point. So that's the point. It doesn't have to be the Rav. It could be another veteran show. So, but it has to be yet. Okay. So the Gemara tells a case. There was a butcher, a shochet, who did not have his knife checked by Rav Abachinna, who was a local Rav. Shante, so like we said before, he put him in chedim, v'avre, and he fired him. V'achre z'abisri d'tresi. And he made a public announcement that the meat that he checked is straight. However, Iklu Mazutra her Rav Ashi Lagabe, however then Mazutra and Rav Ashi came to visit him. Omalahu, to visit Rav Abachinna. Omalahu, so Rav Abachinna, who himself had been machmer on the shoshet, says to them, Li'ainu Rabba B'milte, you Rabbanan, please look into the matter and see if there's a way to be Malamed Tchus on him. Because after all, the Tolar base has to be, because after all, you have little kids, rely on him, he has little kids, he needs to have parnasa for them. Bodka Rav Ashi the Sakine, so Rav Ashi checked the knife, and it turned out the knife itself was okay. So the only problem is that he had not shown it to Rav Abachinna, but the knife itself was okay. So therefore he was master him, because he held that when Rav said before, again, we said before, that Rav had said you fire him and announce the meat is safe. He held, now you actually have two different ways of learning what Ravina said over here. When we said that if the knife is no good, then we don't even allow him to sell it to the guy, is he arguing with the previous statement that he's saying that Rava has said that if the knife is no good, then you fire him and you say the meat is safe, and Ravina is saying regardless, you don't allow him to sell meat again, whether it's good or no good, or is it that Ravina is only talking about when the knife was no good? Well, in that case, Ravashi and Mazutra held like the second way of looking at it, that there's no argument over here. So therefore, fine, since the knife was good, and the only problem is that he didn't show respect to the Tamar Chacham by showing it to him, then we've been fine. Okay. Omalei Mazutra, however Mazutra says to Ravashi, how did that work? Aren't you worried about that it's not derech eretz? Rav Abachinna fired him, and you're saying that he can be reinstated? Yes, but we're only doing it on his shlichus. He himself told us to find a chutz for him. Meaning, in other words, he's saying, I'm washing my hands of this. I'm leaving it in your hands to decide what to do. Okay.
Wait a minute. First he fired him, and then he...
Then when Rav Ashi and Rav Zutra come in town, he says, you know what, I'm leaving it in your hands. If you're able to be malamed chutz on him, then I give you the shlichus to reinstate him.
He should have done just the opposite. First, ask him if he can learn it.
They weren't there. They weren't there. Right now, he's the, right now. Meanwhile, you have the problem that people are going to be eating shakers. So maybe apparently the idea was that he hadn't had the knife yet, and now already Rav Bachinen have probably decided it's too late. I don't know if I check the knife now, is it going to come out that it was good or not? So therefore, at the moment, then we have to put him in Salem. Later on, we'll figure out if there's a way to.
Looks like people as if he's incompetent.
No.
Then he asks them,
maybe we have a way to reverse it. But then, the eyes of the public. The eyes of the public realize that now that you have other Talmud Chachamim in town, then he asks for a second opinion. It doesn't say to check the knife. He just he fired him and announced that the meat is straight. Again, because one way of understanding it is he may have understood, like the first way of learning, that it means that regardless, because he didn't show his knife, doesn't matter whether the knife turned out to be good or afterwards, either way. And now, when Ravashi and Mazitra comes down, then he says, you know what, maybe after all, if you guys hold the second way, the second way of understanding Ravina, then we have a way to be Malabas. So he didn't show it. Right. Getting back to, now we said in the Mishnah a few things that you can't shech with. We've been talking all this time about magel, kosher, and megeira, things that have notches. Then the Mishnah mentioned two other things. Shinayim, teeth, and tziporan, a nail. So now let's talk about that. Omer Rav Bahuna, Shen slusha, but tziporan slusha mutar l'shechita. You are allowed to shech using a tooth that was detached from an animal or from a person. You're allowed to shech with it, as long as, I mean, obviously it has to be a big enough tooth or a small enough neck that it's actually you're able to go back and forth and do a proper shit, obviously, with a tiny tooth and a big neck, it's not going to work for you. And tziporan slusha, and the same thing with a detached fingernail. So the question, you're allowed to shech with such things like
detached fingernail?
Yes, you can, yeah, fingernail that was cut. Yeah. By the way, I mean, Rashi actually uses the expression over here that we're talking about if it was detached from a person or from an animal, which, by the way, you have a Haredim asked about that on the face of it. If we said before, we were talking about the other day, if someone's a Rebbe, you can't shech with something mechover, lakarka. People can be compared to karka sometimes. Avodim are compared to karka in many places. Where do you ever find that a behemoth is considered like karka, that we should say that something attached to an animal is also the shech with? And an answer that's given is that no, over here we're not saying that is karka. We're saying anything that's attached to its natural source of growth is considered mechover. So therefore, yeah, it would be the same thing with an animal. Okay. So the question is, yeah. So the question is, we said in the Mishnah that you can't use a knife for a sickle for harvesting, or a saw, or teeth, or fingernail, because they choke the animal, they don't do a proper shita. So the answer is Shane, like Hasha, there's no contradiction between the two cases involving a tooth, because Hobachodahobatarki. Rav Huna is talking about using a single tooth. So therefore, fine, it's got a sharp edge, you can use it. The Mishnah is talking about using two or more. The teeth themselves may be sharp, but you have the space between one tooth and the next, that's a notch. Therefore it's gonna pass over shita. Tipurana like Hasha. And as far as the nails, there's no contradiction either. Hobatlusha, Hobamukhaber. Rava Bar Rav Huna is talking about a detached fingernail. It's smooth, it's sharp, you can use it. The Mishnah is talking about where it's attached to the person's finger or to the animal, then you can't use it, because we said before, Rebbe said that you can't chest with something with holder.
Chunking is
often chenek, yeah. So it means, in other words, in the case of the shein, it means it doesn't do a proper shita. It kills the animal in a way that's not a proper shita, so it rips with the money. In the case of the fingernail,
chenek.
Yeah, okay, fine, but it's a loose term. But in the case of the tziporan, the issue is not really chonkin. The issue is, we said before, that Rebbe had held, you can't check because it's zeres hakosav, you can't check with something attached to its natural source of growth.
What did the kohen do?
Well, the kohen, malika is something else. Malika is a whole different thing, yeah.
Oh.
That's malika, that's a whole different thing. Okay. Mishnah says, so we said in the previous Mishnah you can't shech using a magel kosher, so let's talk more about that. If a person does shech with a magel kosher, again, remember it has it has teeth, but all the teeth are curved and they all face in one direction. So if you check it with it in the direction opposite the way the teeth go, then you will have a smooth shinta.
Is
the one where you have the where you have curved teeth that all go in one direction.
What's the difference? Magal-yad
and Magal-yad? Magal-yad, we said, is one that it has two cutting edges. One is smooth and one is not.
Right. And
Magal-kafter is one that it has only one, and that one has that one has teeth that all face in the one direction. So therefore, in principle, you could do a shritta with it without ripping the siman.
One way. Magal-yad, they're both directions.
Yeah. Okay. So, B'Shamet Koysen, B'Tzil Machshirin, B'Shamet says that the Shechita is possible, B'Tzil says it's kosher. V'Mechliku Shinea, however, if you smoothed out the teeth and made it a smooth edge, Harei Kastakin, then it's exactly like a knife and you can check it.
You don't say B'Shamet?
Everybody would agree because it's been smoothed out. Yeah. Okay. So, Moses, Omer Rechiba Abba Omer B'Yetzin, Akshif Shiro B'Tzil, you should know, even when B'Tzil is saying that a Shechita with a Magal Kotzer in one direction is kosher, that doesn't mean kosher to eat. All they're saying is it's kosher insofar as the animal won't be considered nevela as far as the din of tumah. But not as far as eating. But to eat it would still be osur because you might end up doing it in the other direction.
So what would be the consequences?
So according to Betshamai, that's the point. According to Betshamai, it would mean it's metamei tumas nevela. A person touches it or carries it, he's tamei.
Because
it's a nevela. According to Betshil, as long as he did the shchita in the proper direction, the animal won't be nevela, it won't be metamei. However, you can't eat it because they already have a zera that they might do it in the wrong direction.
It's
fine as long as you don't do drossa. So you have to have, the knife has to be long enough, the blade has to be long enough, that you're able to do a shchita in one direction without pressing down.
But if you take it off, you can't take it out.
Yeah, if you take it out, then you have a problem with the nasha, yeah. Amar Rav Ashi, Deka Nami, in fact, Rav Ashi says, yeah, you see that from the wording of the Mishnah, because honey, B'Shamet posts on a B'Til Machshirin. We said B'Shamet tackles it, B'Til is Machshirin. But like the Tari, B'Shamet Oysu and B'Til Machshirin, instead of using the word Oster and Mutter. Oster and Mutter is more relevant as far as eating. Postman and Machshirin is more relevant as far as the shchita being kosher or not. So therefore, yeah, we see this point that even Vesilil doesn't say you can eat it, just that it's not metamei tumas nevela.
Dekanami,
you can see it from the wording in the Mishnah. However, the Gemara asks, "Litaimeich, okay, but according to your logic, you should use yet a different expression. Listen, if it's shamei metamei or Vesilil metarin, just say straight out, if it's only a matter of tumah v'tara, say that Vesilil says it's tamei, and Vesilil says it's tahor. Ella, no. Post for the machshirin, but osir machshirin chodem milti. No, you have to say that rather the fact that the Mishnah used the word postman versus machshirin rather than osir machshirin, there's no difference in it. Either way, it amounts to the same thing. You can't prove Rabbi Yochanan's din from our Mishnah. However, Rashi says nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan's din is still a valid din. You may not be able to prove it from the wording of the Mishnah, but he learned it from his rebbeim, and therefore we accept it la'alacha. So it would mean, in other words, that's just that Silol would say you can't eat from such an animal. However, it's not in the Talmud Shema Sadeva. The wording of the Mishnah doesn't bear that out, but nevertheless, the din is still a din.
You can't eat it,
but it's not, yeah. Okay.
And therefore, it's on the Talmud.
According to the Silol. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, okay, so now we've talked about the type of blade you can use. Now we're going to talk about the part of the neck that you can shech in. Okay, so for background, we need to understand a little bit about how the neck of an animal or a bird looks. So you have black and white, you have black and white diagrams over here, and you have a color diagram over here. I bought this few years back. Yeah. Actually, my wife bought it for me. Very, 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 very useful thing. Okay. So you have like this. One of the pipes that you're cutting through during shchita is the windpipe. The windpipe has around it, it has around it rings of cartilage that surround it. But those rings, most of those rings don't surround the whole thing. Most of them are shaped like a horseshoe. They go around three sides of it and they're open on the fourth side. The fourth side is actually the side toward the back of the neck. Not towards the front, the part that you're shechting from, but towards the back. It's open. Except you have on top this one big ring, which the Mishnah and the Gemara over here are calling Tabat Agdola, the big ring, that one goes completely around. That one you have cartilage all around. Then you have on top of that, you have something called, which the Gemara is going to call Koiba, which means the hat shape. And you have that forms the top edge of the windpipe.
What's the kova over there?
So the kova is, in modern terms, in modern terms, cartilage, thyroid cartilage, called in modern terminology. That's it. You can feel the top edge of it, by the way, is your Adam's apple. That's when what sticks out in front of your throat is part of that. Is that kova. So you have again. So you have that. Right below that, you have one ring of cartilage that goes fully around the windpipe. And the rest of the rings are only horseshoe shaped. They only go around three sides of it, and they're open on the fourth.
U shaped.
Yeah. Okay. And then, well, inside within those rings of cartilage is the actual windpipe itself. Here, you can see a different diagram over here, looking from the top down. You have the actual windpipe itself is made out of muscle or made out of whatever it's made out of, and it's surrounded by these rings that hold it open. The difference is, by the way, the vesh doesn't have that because the vesh sometimes is open and sometimes it's closed. It only needs to be open when you're eating and drinking. So therefore, it doesn't need cartilage to stiffen it. The windpipe needs cartilage around it to stiffen it because otherwise it'll collapse when you're not breathing, and that would be a problem. Okay, so the Mishnah says, if somebody, so now, okay, so the point is we're going to be talking about again, what part of the neck are you allowed to shech? Now, we've learned before, earlier in the parak, there are five basic dinim that apply to shechita, and one of them that passel it, if they're not done properly, one of them is called hagrama, which hagrama means shechting in the wrong part of the neck. It can mean like hachila, cutting through the wrong part. It can mean hagrama can also mean you start in the right part, and then like you go on an angle and end up going to the wrong part or whatever. All of that is included in hagrama. The word hagroma, Rashi explains earlier in the Perek and that test, he explains that the word hagroma means like when you balance out a scale, when you weigh down one side of a scale, it's called dirumin. So hagroma means like you're going like on an angle, you're going outside the place you're supposed to. Okay, so the Mishnah says, if somebody shechs an animal within the tabas, within the tabas hagdola, the top ring of the windpipe, the shear bamaloya chutafnekula, as long as he left at least a hair's breadth of it along the whole surface of it that he didn't cut through, shetasik shreva and the shechita is kosher because then that's not hagrama. Then he checks it still within the correct area. So in other words, again,
you have to check between the rings.
Well, we're going to talk about that soon. What Rashi holds on that, right? We'll talk about that soon. But for right now, let's just deal with the Mishnah. In other words, you have. So normally he would shech someplace else in the neck, but here we're talking about he shechted very close to the top of the neck. So as long as he left a tiny bit of that top ring together with the head that he didn't cut through, in other words, he cut through that ring itself, but he left along the entire surface of the ring. You look at it afterwards, you'll find a complete ring of cartilage that's still intact. It won't be the whole original ring. It'll be a ring of that ring, kind of. But it's kosher because then it means that he didn't cut too high up. Okay, in other words, compare, for example, this diagram and this diagram. I'll show it around to everybody else in a second. In this diagram, the cut was done, you still have part of the top ring is still intact. You have a complete ring of cartilage over there that's on one side of the shit tonight.
Right.
As opposed to over here, for example, he cut partway through it, and then he moved the knife and ended up cutting the other part of the cut, went in the space, let's say, between that ring and the next ring. So now you have a part of the ring is on one side of the knife, and a part of it is on the other side of the knife. So here, so the difference is here he cut it, did a straight cut, and you have, therefore, this part of the tabasa gola is left uncut.
Right.
So that you have. If you were to look at it from the top down, you would see a complete ring. As opposed to with this one, if you were to look at it from the top down, if you were to look at it through the neck, through what you cut, you're going to see only a half a ring. So the other half is on the other side of the knife.
Slant.
So it's a slant, yeah. So that'll be possible. So that's a grum.
On one.
Okay, again, over here he cut through in such a way that, okay, you
goes
know what?
All the way through.
He cut, yeah. Imagine this is the tabasa gerla.
Right.
Shiva Maloya Chota Pnei Kula would mean that when he finished cutting, you have the complete top edge of it is still intact. If you were to rip off the top edge of this cup, you would have a complete ring over here.
So he cuts through.
But he cuts through. He cut from one end, he cut like this through over here, but he has a complete ring of it is left on top.
He cut underneath.
He cut underneath, oh. Right. As opposed to would be if he started cutting through here and then he angled this and it came out over here, let's say, then you only have a half a ring. Left.
Oh.
Yeah.
And
that's possible.
He didn't check.
So that's not shit. That's not wrong, right? Rabbi Yosi,
in one case he cuts between the rings?
No, not between the rings. No. Again, this is only one ring. In one he cuts through the ring, but he leaves a complete circle of the ring is left on one side of the knife, and a complete circle of it is left on the other side of the knife. Whereas in the other case, you only have a half a circle is left on one side of the knife. Yeah. So then, Rabbi Yosi says it's enough if you have a hair's breadth along most of the surface of the tabak. You don't need a whole, or you don't need a whole circle left with one hand. It's enough that you have more than half the circle left. So according to him, it would be fine if you cut like this and then went on an angle, as long as the part that you cut and left, as long as the partial ring that you left, it constitutes most of the surface of the ring.
That's left,
right.
So if you section it through the whole ring, then it's possible. And if you...
Now, according to the Yosef of Yehuda, if you have, at the end, you check and you find only half the ring on one side of your knife, then it would be possible, because you don't have rubber. But if you have more than half, and the other end of it was cut together, the other half, the other one-third of it, let's say, was cut together with the rest, then it would be kosher.
Okay.
So the Gemara starts off, Rav and Shmuel da'amitavai, halacha k'Rav Yosi b'Yehuda. So Rav and Shmuel both say the halacha is like Rav Yosi b'Yehuda. Rubei k'kulei, as long as you have most of the tabas ha'gdola intact, then it's considered good. However, even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is only saying that when it comes to the Tabas HaGdola, the big ring, because it surrounds the entire Kone, and therefore it's considered to be the Kone itself. But when it comes to the other rings, then it wouldn't be kosher at all. Now, what does that mean? Rashi explains like this. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would say, learns Rashi, that if you shechted through any other ring, the shechita would be possible. Again, remember, you have the entire kone is made up. You have a ring of cartilage, then you have the muscles of the kone itself, then you have another ring of cartilage, or partial ring, whatever, or U-shaped ring, then more muscle, etc., and it goes like that, going along the whole surface of the kone. Rashi learns that what the Gemara here means is that according to the Yosi of Yehuda, if you were to cut through any of these other rings, the shchita would actually be possible. The only ring that you can cut through and the shchita would be kosher would be the top ring because it completely surrounds the kone and therefore it's considered like a kone. Tosfos disagrees with that. Among other things, Tosfos says, how is that possible? It's very hard to be careful to make sure that you're not actually cutting through one of these rings.
Very, very hard, yeah.
So therefore, Tosfos learns that no, all he means is that when it comes to the top ring, it's enough rubber to call it, because since it surrounds the whole thing, then if you cut through most of it, you cut through most of the kone. As opposed to the other ones, since they're U-shaped, if you cut through most of them, you haven't cut through most of the kone, because they don't surround the whole kone. That's what it means. Okay. So the question is,
which is much harder to cut through the top one, which is much thicker.
Well, there's that also. But if you did, yeah. So according to Rashi, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda would mean you're allowed to cut through the top one, and as long as you cut through even most of it, then it's good. As opposed to the other ones, either Rashi says it means Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda would say you can't cut through them at all. You have to cut between them. And
what is that?
Rashi. And of course, Tosfos, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, means you can cut through any of the other ones, but with any of the other ones, you have to cut through the whole thing, and with the top one, you only have to cut most of the way through.
Okay. According to Rashi, you have to cut between them.
Between any of the other rings, right. Right. Okay. So the question is, of a Shai Tabarit law, you're telling me none of the other rings, it would be good to cut through Rubai.
But Rubai Kukula, why not?
Well, that's the question. Again, according to Tosfos, the reason is because since the other rings don't completely surround the kone, they don't completely surround the muscles of the windpipe.
They shouldn't say...
Well, therefore, if you cut through Rubai of them, you haven't gotten through Rubai of the kone.
So Rubai is not Kukula in that sense.
That's why Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda would say that with the other rings, it doesn't work. With those, you have to cut through the whole thing, exactly. So the question is, you're telling me with the other rings you don't have, it's no good. Either according to Rashi that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would say you can't cut through any of the other rings, or according to Tosfos, he means that with the other ones you can't just cut through, Rabbi. Well, Hatani, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, I show up the Shai Taboris, if somebody steps through the other rings, even though those rings do not surround the entire Koneh, Holo Makipas is Roy Makoneh, since they surround most of the Koneh, Shitotik Shera, then the Shita is kosher. The halacha is not really like Rav Yosef and Yehuda in the end anyway. The halacha ends up being like the next opinion we're going to bring over here of Rav Chanina ben Amti, which is we're going to see in a second. Okay. Umugremes Sola. However, Rav Yosef and Yehuda would continue in this braisa that Mugremes, if you were to do most of the shchita in the tabas and then some of it above the tabas agdola, that actually says that's not part of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. This Mugremes Sula is according to the Chachamim that we're saying everybody would agree that if Mugremes, that if you shechted part of the shchita was beyond the part that you're supposed to, too high up, then it'll be possible.
In the tabas agdola?
If you go beyond the tabas agdola, if you go too high above it, if you don't have rubai of it. Okay, so again, you have Rashi versus Tosfos discuss all the different details of what exactly we mean, where exactly it is, kosher for shchita, but. Now, continues the Gemara. Heyed Rav Chanina ben Antignus amul grema chikshena. Rav Chanina ben Antignus gave eders about a case of mugremes that it is kosher. Mugremes again means that it's shechted outside the proper area.
Which is where?
Well, that's what we have to figure out. So what do we mean? Obviously, mugremes is, there's a halacha l'moshe l'sinai that mugremes is possible. So what does he mean that he's saying mugremes is kosher? Before we get to that, we have the contradiction on Rav and Shmuel. Again, Rav and Shmuel have said that Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda would say that with the other taboys, you have to cut through the whole thing, according to Tosfos, or according to Rashi, that you can't cut through them at all. The Braisa says that he says that the other taboys is also okay. So it's a contradiction on Rav and Shmuel.
What's the contradiction?
The contradiction is, they said that Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda would say, Rav and Shmuel had explained Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, when are you allowed to shech? And it doesn't matter if you got the whole tabas, only most of it would apply only to the tabas agdola.
Okay.
But with the other one, no. No meaning, according to Rashi, you cannot shech by cutting through the other tabas at all. And according to Tosfos, you can cut through the other tabas, but you have to cut through the whole thing. But the Braita said, Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda said, with the other tabas, then it's okay. It's shechitah tekera. And only Mugremes is possible. The answer means outside the area. Rabbi Yosef answers Rabbi Yosef Tauti Kama. Yes, but what it is Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is actually saying two different dinim. Number one, he's saying there's a concept of Rubai Kikoloi. Number two, he's saying a din regarding the other tabois, that you're allowed to shech in the other tabois. So, Rav and Shmuel, Sabri Tavasei B'chadar, Tzogelei B'chadar. Okay, so Rav and Shmuel are not completely disagreeing with him. They agree with him on one din, that Rubai Kikoloi, in places where you're allowed to shech, but they disagree with him as far as the other part of the din, where he argues that the other tabois are also a valid place for shita. They disagree with him on that. So therefore, it's not a contradiction. He's saying that the other tabois are the same as the tabas agdola. On that, they disagree with him. When he says rubik kakula, as far as the tabas agdola, that they agree with him. So therefore, no contradiction. Okay.
So
the question is, v'hol loy omer, what do you mean? V'hol loy omer kambi, what do you mean? Rav Nishmol said, Rav Yosi did not say only such and such. That means that apparently they're disagreeing with him on both. Or they're clarifying what he's saying, rather. They're clarifying what he's saying, not they're disagreeing with him. The answer is, yes, but what Rav and Shmuel mean to say is, as far as the actual halacha, the halacha is like him as far as the tabas agdola, that as long as you cut through most of it correctly, even if the end of it you cut incorrectly, then it's kosher. But the halacha is not like him. As far as the other tabois, with those, again, according to Rashi, you cannot check through the other tabois at all. And according to Tosfos, it means you can check through the other tabois, but you would have to cut through them completely, not just the tabois.
But according to Rashi, other tabois, can you
check? Can you cut into them? No. According to Rashi, in between them, that's key to say. That's what you have to do. Yeah. Yeah,
that's what you would have to do.
You would have to do that. Yeah, according to him, you would have to do that. You're not allowed to. Because you can feel. You can feel where the taboo is. So feel your own neck. You can feel where there's like bumps along. You can feel on one side there's bumps as you go down. Those are the taboo. Those are each of the taboo. So with the animal, similarly, you can feel.
So according to Rashi, you have to go in between the
taboo. In between the taboo.
Right.
However, that's only according to Rabbi Yisrael Bibi
Hoda.
That's only according to Rabbi Yisrael Bibi Hoda. If the halacha is like Rav Chanina ben Antigonus, based on his edus that we say over here, then it would mean that there's no difference between the other tabaris and tabas hagdola. And in fact, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, what does Rav Chanina ben Antigonus mean when he says mugremeth is kosher? He means you can go even beyond the tabas hagdola, because he holds you can go even into the koyva. The koyva again is the thyroid cartilage, that hat shaped cartilage. No, the tabas hagdola is right below that. Tabas hagdola is right below that. The tabas hagdola is what they, okay, the tabas hagdola here, they're labeling it here. In modern terminology, it's called the cricoid cartilage. It's the top ring around the windpipe itself. Then above that, you have the thyroid cartilage, which holds the thyroid gland and whatever. So the Chanina ben Antigonus would hold its kosher even if you shafted in that.
But the Chachila, where you have to go?
The Chachila, you should go lower down. The Chachila, you should be doing in the middle of the neck. But again, up until now, we would say, the Mishnah had said that the highest you can check is the Tabas HaGdol, the cricoid cartilage.
Okay.
And the Tanakama of the Mishnah had said you have to make sure that at the end you have a whole ring of it left on one side of the knife. According to the Yosef, you heard it, you only needed most of a ring.
Okay.
Then we're saying, it says, never mind that. You can check even in the thyroid cartilage.
As long as you go through it.
But in other words, that's one thing.
Tashkila, where should you go for all opinions?
All opinions. Check lower down, and that way you don't have any state.
Okay.
Yeah. The only thing is, according to Rashi, Rabbi Yosef Bibi Hoda would say you can't cut through the actual rings themselves. You have to cut between them.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I think we'll stop now, and we'll continue tomorrow about Sashem with the definition of what Rav Chanina ben Antigonus means and side issues about the details of when a person has to follow the Minhag HaMakom that he came from and when he has to follow the Minhag HaMakom of where he lives now. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Some of these things go according to Minhag HaMakom. Yeah. So we'll get to that tomorrow. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going to get one. I'm short now. At this point, we're done with the beginning of the night. Yeah, fine. You want to bring a real head of an animal because of the head.
Okay.
Fine. Okay.